Money, Riches, and Wealth is sponsored by the Financial Consulate.
Say you don't need no diamond rings, and I'll be satisfied. Tell me that you want the kind of things the money just can't buy. I don't care too much for money. Money can buy me love.
This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for Money, Riches, and Wealth. Here's your host, Drew Tignanelli.
This is Drew Tignanelli here, Money, Riches, and Wealth. Co-host tonight is Christopher John O'Shea.
That's right, but I am not alone.
You are never alone, Chris. you know, with
that's
you
a good,
tonight is,
a
an, is another a great colleague, new colleague of our firm. We introduced one a few weeks ago, right?
Yes, we did.
Jackson Courtney, but tonight you have Leo Lavazza with you, right?
We sure do. We sure do. And Leo's been with us over half a year, and he's...
And he's Italian.
And he's gives... He has another one. It's only the second one, so you got a long way to go.
Graham tells me he's Italian.
Oh, he does?
Graham Ewing, he doesn't have an Italian name, but he says he's half Italian.
Half Italian. Okay. All right. We'll give it to you.
Leo, how you doing there?
I'm good. Thanks for having me, Drew. I appreciate it.
It's great to have you, and you've been a great addition to the firm. You've done excellent work in these as you started off as an intern, now as a full-time employee, and we're looking forward to having you. And as you get more experience, we're looking forward to you being the co-host with me someday. And Chris can go on to enjoy all the things he likes to do.
Drew, I love coming here and talking about, in addition to the financial planning, the songs that we get to throw your way.
There you go. All those great songs.
Yeah, I get to learn from you, music stuff.
Hey, so. Chris, you learned something. Well, first off, let's tell our listeners. We're on an open show tonight, so you're our guest tonight. You get to make the decision as to what we're going to talk about tonight. 410-922-6680 is the way you call in and ask your question. 410-922-6680 if you want to call in and ask a question. And we're on an open show. So remember, if you call in and ask a question, there's somebody out there, there's numerous people out there that wanted to hear that same question that you're going to ask, and they want to hear that answer. So if you're willing to call in and ask that question, you're going to help not only yourself, but other people. 410-922-6680. But Chris, today you learned an interesting thing about Social Security that I think a lot of our listeners would like to know. Why don't you explain
them? It came in a great question. The question was, hey, I hear that the COLA, the cost of living adjustment this year, could be much higher than it's been for a while. Could be as much as 6%. If you calculated it today, if today were October and they were going to calculate it for the new year, it would come in at about 5.9%. And the question was, hey, since I've delayed my Social Security, how does that impact me? Does it, should I collect it because I'm going to get that for next year? What is it going to be? And so when we looked at it more in depth, we really came up with the COLA impact people who are receiving it already. What happens for people who aren't receiving it? And we looked at it's a very complicated issue with how they calculate it. But bottom line is the average wage index is a major factor that gets input into what happens to your benefit before you start collecting it. How is it computed? And over a 30-year period, the average wage index goes up 1% more than the COLA.
In addition, as you wait, you get an 8% increase per year also in your Social Security check.
So it's another reason, as we say, that, hey, if you don't absolutely need the money and you can wait from full retirement age until age 70, you get that annualized 8% increase a year. Now, over the long haul, it may not work out this year, but over the long haul, you also get a little bit more because of how the benefit's calculated.
Yeah, and a lot of people say, I got to take Social Security soon because it's going to go bankrupt. Might as well get my money now. And, that's ridiculous. They print the money. You got to keep in mind, when you print the money, you can just keep it coming And many countries like Argentina and Russia and so forth have proven that when their currency collapsed, they continued to print the money to their senior old age programs and have never missed a payment as far as I understand. Maybe the inflated dollars worth of it might not be the same, but overall, they kept the payments coming. And since there's a guaranteed cost of living increase, you know, I don't know that it's going to be it's going to be that big a deal. So,
it's a great question. And we're going to turn to Gary in Columbia because he's got a question. He's called in. We have open phone lines, 410-922-6680. Gary has a question about selling stock. Gary, what's your question?
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Great, thanks.
Okay, my question has to deal with determining cost basis for a stock when it's sold.
Yeah.
And here's the situation. For many years, my friend had an after-tax employee stock option plan.
Okay.
Started with investing in Sylvania stock, and then when the Sylvania plant closed, it got converted to Verizon stock. Dividends were reinvested the entire time, and this is over many years.
Okay.
Now, the holding company, current holding company, does not provide cost basis information if the stock is sold, because I guess they don't have sufficient information. I don't know.
Well, they don't have to until 2012 is when they were forced to have to keep track of that.
Okay. Well, this has been going on for many years, and I think there have been several different holding companies, you know, et cetera. So the question is, how does somebody determine the cost basis for a stock when they sell it?
On that type of situation, it's very complicated and very difficult because you're going to have to try to go back. They may not have your cost basis, but what you can ask them for is all records they have going back as far back as they have on the holdings. Because if you can get the records, you can get reinvested dividends, you can get any purchases that were done along the way. And you say, yeah, but there were other companies other than this one. Well, at least we get this one's back as far as we can go. And then any other records, the IRS will take any record you can come up with that you can reasonably defend to prove your cost basis in the stock. And now keep in mind that we have lots of situations like this where clients owned AT&T and bought it in the 60s in a payroll contribution. And then it converted to, split up into 12, and then they got bought up again, and then AT&T bought Comcast, et cetera, et cetera. So you can only imagine that it's an incredible feat to try to figure it out.
Yeah.
And the best you can do is do the best you can do and say to the IRS, look, if you want to challenge this, you feel free, you know, but they normally aren't going to. Normally, they're not going to fool around with little things like that. If you did an honest, true effort, they're going to look at it and say, man, I really admire you did that much work on this, you know? All right?
Is there any company, third-party company, that can...
No, because you have to have your specific records.
Yeah.
You have to have your specific records. So,
get your records, or a company that would take those records and do the calculation or not?
Well, you know, but if they do, you're going to pay too much money. Like, if you asked us to do that, we're going to be charging you thousands of dollars. You'd be best to just pull it together yourself, do your best guess, and throw a number down there that you think you can defend and you think is reasonable and fair.
Yeah.
And the IRS is likely not going to worry about it.
We're
okay?
coming up against the break time here. Gary, thanks for calling. It's a great question.
Very much.
All right, take care. We've got to go to traffic. They're waiting to tell us what's going on out there.
Hi, this is Drew Tignanelli of the Financial Consulate, saying a financial advisor must have a tax planning passion. I'm appealing only to those with a net worth of more than $5 million or with taxable income of over $400,000. You are the target for higher and higher taxes. If you're in this elite club, you can no longer afford to have a financial advisor that is not passionate to minimize taxes. I'm appealing to you with income over $400,000 or a net worth greater than $5 million because you are the target and need the Financial Consulate's passion to minimize income taxes and estate taxes. Call to set up your introductory meeting, 410-823-7283 or 410-823-SAVE or online, financialconsulate.com. If your taxable income is $400,000 or more, or your net worth is over $5 million, you are the target
So call to begin your tax plan, 410-823-7283, or online, financialconsulate.com.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
And we're back. Money, Riches, and Wealth. And we're on an open show tonight. Open means that you're the guest. You get to determine the direction. We don't have any callers online. And so you got the opportunity to call in if you'd like. 410-922-6680. 410-922-6680. If you want to call in and ask a question and direct the conversation today in the direction that you think would be most beneficial to you. We talked a little bit about Social Security. We talked about cost basis issues and how do you do a cost basis calculation. You know, the answer that, you know, you really have to look at is, again, you know, do your best homework and be fair and be way that you can justify what you're saying. And don't worry if you got it 100% accurate. And if the IRS wants to question it, they feel free to question it. And but they're normally not going to if it's not millions and millions of dollars. Anyway, we're on an open show, 410-922-6680, if you want to call in and ask a question. And Leo, during the break, corrected me and say, you know, you say my last name Lavazza, but it's Lavazza. So I apologize, Leo. You know, I've only been with me 6 months, so I'm going to hopefully today I learned once and for all to say Lavazza. I'm Italian, too, but I've never seen Lavazza pronounced Lavazza, but it will be Lavazza from now on.
That's all right. It's weird when you spell it one way and say it another way. So no worries at all.
It's like Brett Favre, you know.
Yeah, well.
His name is spelled Favre.
Well, you know, everybody looks at my name and tries to pronounce it some way, you know, that, and it's pronounced phonetically, Tignanelli, Tignanelli. You're Lavazza, L-A-V-E-Z-Z-A. It should be Lavezza or something like that, but you say Lavezza, so, you know. We should switch, you know.
There we go.
All right. Looks like we've got a call coming in. We do have several open phone lines, 410-922-6680. And it looks like they disappeared. So we have another open line still. So the number 410-922-6680. Earlier, we were thinking before we came on, another topic to potentially go into was continued security, right? I mean, everywhere you go, you know, it's almost said too much, but in many other ways, it's not said enough because we still have people, clients, who are still listening to scammers. You know, people call up and they say, hey, I'm with Dell, I'm with Microsoft, I'm with whatever, and getting access to people's computers.
Yeah. And that's the thing to keep in mind. Dell and Microsoft and Apple do not call you on the telephone and say, you know, we noticed something. If you get a call like that, don't answer the phone. That's always your best option. Don't answer the phone. Don't call them back. If they say they're with the IRS or Social Security and there's something wrong, don't call them back. If they tell you they're with the FDA and they've got a serious issue that they're dealing with and need your help, don't call them back. If you've got somebody calls you up and says they're in trouble, Grandma, this happened to my mother. You know, Grandma, I have a problem. Can you help me? And she said, is that you? And she said, Chris? Because she tried to figure out which voice it was that was talking. And the minute she said the name of one of her grandkids, the person impersonated Chris and said, yeah, it's Chris. And I'm in trouble and I've had a bad accident and they're going to take me to jail if I don't get some money to them and I need some help. And my mother was absolutely, and she said, I can't do anything. I got to talk to Drew.
There you go.
You know, because he controls all my money. So, you know, fortunately for my mother, you know, she had somebody who was taking care of her finances and knew she had to talk to me before she could get anything to send to him. And I told her, no, Mom, it's a scam. Don't worry. It's not him. You know, look, we'll get in touch with Chris. But she didn't stop shaking until we actually got Chris on the line to prove to her. But I mean, that's how evil these people
are. Yeah, it's horrible.
And I mean this all truthfully. You know me. I'm going to be very truthful and honest. I think that people who do this to seniors and so forth, take people, you know, and they see an obituary and they call the surviving spouse up and try to scam them and so forth. These type of people are so evil in what they do to scam people and steal money from them. When they catch them, they should go back to hanging people in the courts and leave their body there for the birds of the air to eat their flesh. And so that, you know, people will know that, you know, what you're doing is so downright evil just to steal money from people. You know, but of course, there's too many people in this world to think that's just ridiculous.
Well, we're going to find out.
We're
not going to find out what Sean thinks about that. But Sean from the Eastern Shore wants to call in. He's called in. He wants to ask a question on taxes. So let's go there. Wow. We still have open phone lines, 410-922-6680. But Sean, what are you thinking about for taxes?
Yes, sir. So as I mentioned to the screener, I have a place in Delaware. I presently live in Maryland. Over the next couple of years, I'm going to make the transition to call Delaware my, quote, home. And I'd like to know what is the law or the requirement on calling it home and what is the proof they need to call it home?
It's a great question.
It's a great question, and it's not an easy answer. But you better do it right or you could really get into some serious trouble. Okay, so here's the answer to your question, Sean. Is your heart has to transition to Delaware away from Maryland. Now, what does that mean, you say? Well, what does that mean? Well, no judge is going to be able to get into your heart and figure out. So they do it with a list of things. And the list of things is not any one of them is conclusive by any means. Some of them help more than others, but none of them are conclusive. For example, you're going to have to be in Delaware more time than Maryland. So let's say you travel 2 months of the year and you're in your Maryland or Delaware home 10 months of the year. I want your Delaware home to be 5 months or more, a lot more, preferably, in order for your you to say Delaware is your home. I want you to vote in Delaware. I want you to register your cars in Delaware. I want you to get your driver's license in Delaware. I want you to take all your memorabilia out of your house in Maryland and get as much of it into Delaware as possible. I want you to, if you belong to a country club, I'd prefer you to belong to either country club in both places or the one that you want to call your domicile. I want your main church to be the one in your main domicile. I mean, I tell you an interesting story, Sean. There was a guy who had a place in New York and had a place in Texas because he was being transferred to run this Texas operation. But he wasn't sure whether he was going to do it, you know, absolutely for sure or not. And, you know, and he did it for, you know, a couple years or so. You know, but he was in the Texas home 10 months of the year, 10 months of the year working out of the Texas home. And New York came after him in 2 years and said, you claim that you didn't have any New York income because you lived in Texas and it was all tax-free. We disagree. We say it was 100% taxable in New York. And he's like, I wasn't even in New York but 2 months of the year. And they said, nonetheless, you had a home here and it was still your domicile. Your heart was here. And they said, well, how can you say that? And they go, here's an email from you 1 year and 9 months later, where you finally say to your friend, hey, send Buddy to live with me now in Texas because I've now decided that Texas is where I'm going to stay. And they said, you see, you show that you still consider New York your residence because you didn't allow your dog, Buddy, to come to Texas until you changed your mind 1 year and 9 months later. Therefore, you owe us income taxes for all that time. So that's the definition, my friend.
Okay, I heard stories, and I want to do it right because I'm going to retire in Delaware, so I won't have an income other than pension and IRA or whatever. And so I just want to do it right. And what about the one last question? What about the resolution of that? So
can you hold on to us for a couple minutes?
You're going to have to hold there, Sean.
Hang on a second.
We got to come right back with Money, Riches, and Wealth.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680
WCBS. It's rare that he does, though.
Yeah. All right. We're back. Money, Riches, and Wealth. We got a flow here.
Yes, we do. We've got Sean who's...
some kind of animal tonight, this song here. Anyway. Sean, real quick.
Yeah, Sean. So let's finish up. You were...
Sean, what were you saying?
Yeah, so real quick. So the resolution of the...
Oh, yeah. That doesn't do anything. I mean, it's a nice thing to do, but that doesn't do... You're talking about the affidavit of domicile. And swearing that that's your home now.
No, I'm saying, like, whether I spend 4 days there in a week and then 3 days in Maryland, or whether I spend 7 months there at a stretch, or 5 months in Maryland, doesn't matter.
Yeah, it just the time. If over the course of the year, it doesn't matter how you do it, whether you do 3 days here, 1 day there, or 3 months here, 1 month there, it's irrelevant how you do it, but you should have a log of how much time was here or there. That would be the way to do it. Your best bet would be to just sell your Maryland home. If you really want to make it your domicile and don't want any questions, just sell your Maryland home. But if you're going to keep it, then make sure that your heart moves with it to Delaware, okay?
Got it. Thanks for your help.
All right, buddy. Take care.
Sean. We've got several open phone lines. Rebecca from PA has been holding the line. Rebecca, thanks for doing that. It says, did you have a question about survivor benefits?
Yeah, sure, and thank you. But I want to know, like, you know, absolutely, I only got $255 from, like, you know, survivor benefits. And I want to know how is that, like, you know, not,
So what she's talking about, so everybody knows what she means, that is when her spouse died, Social Security gave her $255, which is the Social Security death benefit, lump sum death benefit, and that was established in 1932, and it was the value of what it would cost to bury somebody back then.
So
and
why
is,
hasn't it been adjusted? That's my question.
You
it's a
know,
great question.
It's a great question. Why do they do anything? Why do they make any of the stupid decisions they make? You know, even a better question, Rebecca, is, you know, in 1982, I wrote an article about this. It's called The Most Evil of All Taxation. It's on our consulate journal. And here it is. In 1982, Alan Greenspan ran a commission on Social Security, and he decided that Social Security needed to be means tested in order for it to survive long term. But he said if he tried to means test it, people would just take him out into the court and beat him. So they had to come up with a creative way to means test Social Security. The way they did it is they determined that it would be taxable. Because if you think about it, if you tax Social Security, which had been tax-free even for Warren Buffett, if he was collecting Social Security in 1981, it would have been 100% tax-free to him. 1982, they made it taxable. Well, guess what? The higher income you make, the higher your tax bracket is, the more your taxable Social Security that they take from you. Guess what that is? That's means testing in a political way. They did it in a way that you would not know what they were doing, but that's what they were doing. Now, here's the interesting point, though, right? So it's interesting in and of itself that they're means testing Social Security without ever telling you that they've been means testing it. But here's the interesting point. In 1982, when they started to means test it, the single person started to get taxed the minute their income was over $25,000. The married couple started to get taxed once their income was over $32,000. Now, today, guess what income the single person is being taxed at? $25,000.
I'm still listening. I'm sorry. I interrupted you. Please say that again. I'm sorry.
Guess what income they're still taxing the single person at? It's $25,000. Guess what income they're still taxing the married couple at? It's $32,000. And we're in 2021, literally
40 years later.
40 years later. Now think about that. They means tested the person who only made $25,000 or more single in 1982 In 2021, there's still means testing the same person that made $25,000 of income, which in inflated dollars is equal to about $62,000. It's about $62,000. Now, think of how many people would not be paying taxes on Social Security if they could go up to $62,000 of income instead of the $25,000, which was originally set up in 1982. And in my opinion, this is one of the most evil forms of taxation because it's literally the frog in the pot where they turn up the heat very slowly over 40 years and the public hasn't understood what they've been doing to them. That is even far worse than the lump sum benefit for death benefits.
Is there anything I can do about that?
People can start calling their senators and congressmen and saying, you know, Social Security's taxed at the same income level as it was back in 1982, and something's got to be done about that because that's ridiculous, you know? And that's the only thing people can do. Whether they'll listen or not, that's a whole different story.
All right,
Rebecca, good question.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling. Okay, we have Kevin and then Roger. We'll see if we can get you here. Let's go to Kevin. He's got a question about capital gains again. What's your question, Kevin?
Yes, I had a rental property I sold about 6 or 7 years ago, and I had to pay capital gains on that. Now, I have my principal residence now that we're thinking about selling. You don't have to pay capital gains on your principal residence, right?
As long as you don't make more than $500,000. You're married, right?
Right.
So $500,000, if you make more than $500,000 gain on the sale of your house, then you might have to pay some capital gains tax on it. Are you going to make more than $500,000?
No, it would probably be about $300,000.
And it's 100% tax-free from it, my friend.
All right, good. And they don't do like a percentage sliding scale or anything, right?
No, the only thing that could possibly impact that is if you have used it for a business purpose or rented it in any way, shape, or form during that time you've owned it. But if you've never done it, it's only been your principal residence, your income, your gain is under $500,000, you're 100% tax-free, no ifs, ands, or buts about it.
Perfect. Sounds great. And I also heard that capital gains, you only have to pay once in your lifetime. Is that correct or no?
If you got another house and you...
I got another rental property, say.
No. I mean, any property stands on its own. But if you had a rental property, it would stand on its own. Anytime that you sell it, you have to calculate, did you get a gain on it? And if it's a rental property, then, you have to... If there's a gain, you have to pay tax on it. If it's a home, it's just that you get that credit again every time you sell it, as long as it's more than 2 years.
Yep.
Since the last one.
Okay, great. Thanks a lot.
Okay, thanks for calling.
Bye-bye.
I
think we got to go to our pause.
We have Roger. If you would stay with us through for a couple minutes, we have several open phone lines. We'll be right back with Money, Riches, and Wealth.
Hi, this is Drew Tignanelli of the Financial Consulate saying a financial advisor must have a tax planning passion. I'm appealing only to those with a net worth of more than $5 million or with taxable income of over $400,000. You are the target for higher and higher taxes. If you're in this elite club, you can no longer afford to have a financial advisor that is not passionate to minimize taxes. I'm appealing to you with income over $400,000 or a net worth greater than $5 million because you are the target and need the financial consulate's passion to minimize income taxes and estate taxes. Call to set up your introductory meeting, 410-823-7283 or 410-823-SAVE or online, financialconsulate.com. If your taxable income is $400,000 or more, or your net worth is over $5 million, you are the target. So call to begin your tax plan, 410-823-7283, or online, financialconsulate.com.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
All right, Chris, let's see if you know anything about music.
That's a great song. That's on the theme song. It's on the soundtrack for Remember the Titans, one of my top 10 movies of all time. So it's the Hollies, long, cool woman in a red dress.
That's not right.
All right. We've
anyway,
got,
what do we
Roger
got
Roger in Ellicott City, and then we've got Bill, and we've got another open phone line or two, 410-922-6680. So let's go. Roger, thanks for holding on all this time. You had a question about Social Security.
Yeah, thank you so much for taking my call.
Sure.
My question is with regards to Social Security. When a person starts collecting Social Security prior to the full retirement age, is there any penalty?
I mean, there's no penalty, but if you make more earned income than, let's call it $19,000 a year, they're going to take $1 for every $2 back from you. Now, it sounds like a penalty, but it's not. What it basically is they'll take it back from you, but then when you turn your full retirement age, you'll get that income back because you didn't get it prior to your full retirement age. So in other words, if you made $50,000 and you wiped out all of your Social Security that you were making pre your full retirement age, when you hit your full retirement age, you will still get your full benefit. So it's not like they're penalizing you. They're just saying, we're not going to give you your full retirement. We're not going to give you your Social Security income if you're not really retired and you're making more earned income than, let's call it, $19,000.
Okay, got it. So for that reason, let's say person before turning the full retirement age also withdraws the money from IRA. Would that be counted as earned income or would that be taxed?
Earned income is only working. So if I take a job, I get a W-2, or if I'm self-employed and I show sole proprietor income or partnership income, those are the only things that are considered earned income. Not IRA distributions, not pensions, not distributions, dividends, capital gains, only working. So if you're working, then you would be, they would take that money back from you. That's earned income, all right?
Great, thank you so much.
All right, thanks
all
for calling.
Right. Good question.
Yeah, great question. Okay, Bill Falston, you got a question about conversion. Is this a Roth conversion?
It's a conventional IRA I started a question last week and we ran out of time. And my question is, can I use the RMD to convert a portion of my conventional to a Roth using RMD?
RMD can never be done as a conversion. It always has to be a distribution.
Okay, so I'd have to take the RMD and then take more to convert some of it.
To convert, that's correct. Now, do you do any charitable contributions?
Not enough to exceed the standard deduction I'm married.
No. It's totally irrelevant. Forget the standard deduction. I just asked you, do you do charitable contributions?
Yes.
So any charitable contributions you do from your IRA, and it goes direct to the charity. It's not reportable as income, so it comes off of your IRA income, and it counts against your RMD.
Okay, that's good. All right, well, that answers
that's very important that all of our listeners out there who are taking a required minimum distribution know that if you're giving any money to charity, you get it from your IRA account to give to the charity directly. So if I say I'm going to give St. Jude $500, I call up my IRA custodian, I say, get me a check for $500 payable to St. Jude, I send it off to St. Jude, and it's not reportable as income. And you see, the key there was, you don't matter whether you itemize your deductions or not, and now it's still tax-free. If you don't, then you're not going to be able to itemize your deduction. It's going to be after-tax money that you're giving to charity. And here's the thing that irritates me the most. Most quote-unquote financial advisors, A, don't even know this concept of qualified charitable distribution, and most don't want to waste their time and administer these qualified charitable distributions, but they should. Because that's what a true professional financial advisor does, is help their clients minimize taxes. Anyway, all right, any other question there?
That answers my question.
All right, buddy.
Bill, thanks for
Take
calling.
Care.
Okay.
I think he got more than he was hoping for, Chris. We were talking about skill. You have anybody else online before I get rolling?
We do not. You have the deck. It's okay. 4 minutes to go. Do you need 4 minutes?
Yeah, I do. I need 4 minutes. Okay. I need maybe 5 minutes even.
Well,
so,
you've got four.
Scammers.
3 hours, 50 minutes.
Scammers. I want all of our listeners, again, to understand that Apple doesn't call you, Microsoft doesn't call you, Dell doesn't call you, the IRS does not call you, so security does not call you. You know, people call you up and tell you that they're in trouble and they pretend that it's one of your family members and they need money, or somebody calls you and tells you that you won the lottery, but we still got to get some money here or whatever. All of this stuff is a scam and you need to not listen. You're best to not even answer your phone, your house phone, your landline phone. You should always let it go to voicemail. Listen to the messages, unless you know for a fact, oh, this is Drew calling in. I see his number. There it is right there. Even caller ID saying it's Drew. If you don't know absolutely who that is calling you, you should never answer your landline phone. And you should probably stay away from answering your cell phone anymore, because those numbers are being scammed just as often now. And just ignore it. Let it go to voicemail. If you don't recognize the number, let it always go to voicemail. And then call them back once you understand who they are. But if they're saying, I'm with Microsoft, we've got a virus on you, or I'm with Social Security and somebody's stealing your check, or I'm with the IRS and we're going to confiscate your house and whatever, don't listen to them. Stay away. Avoid these people. Don't even try conducting a conversation with them in any way, shape, or form. And we have a webinar coming up on this, right, Chris?
We do. It is 2 weeks from Friday.
It's August 27th, and if anybody wants to get information about that, you can go to our website, the financialconsulate.com, financialconsulate, that's like an embassy, C-O-N-S-U-L-A-T-E, like an embassy, consulate.com, and go to the Knowledge Center. Then you'll see our webinars, and you'll see the next coming webinar event. It's called Information Technology, I believe, and how to prevent scammers, help yourself from not being scammed or something
information
like that.
Information security, staying one step ahead of scammers.
I got it. It was close there, Chris.
Yeah,
one step ahead
of
scammers. And I think it's going to be a great seminar to give you some good information how to avoid it, because this is a dangerous thing. I mean, I can't tell you how many times we've had clients.
We get a call at least every 2 weeks,
It seems. And we've had clients that have had thousands of dollars stolen from them because they just didn't follow the advice, which is do not answer the phone. Let it go to voicemail. Anyway, Leo, you still there?
I'm still here.
Enjoying yourself tonight?
I did. It's been a lot of fun for sure.
Leo Leveza.
That's the one.
There you go. The man, the up and coming star,
the financial consulate. Yep.
He's a good Italian, so we've got to give that to him. He's got one step ahead of you, Chris.
Yeah, well.
So
I've been doing a lot of research, Drew, and I'm sorry to say, the more I research, the more I just come back Irish. What can I tell you?
But I've known you for 50 years. I've only known Leo for about 6 months, so we're going to give him some time, even though he's Italian. I got to still check him out for a little while.
Even though we think sometimes that any of us can be prone to exaggeration. He's not exaggerating. It's been 50 years. That's crazy.
50 years, 1971 when I first met you. So that's a long time ago. Anyway, soon they'll be playing that song by Engelbert Humperdinck, one of my favorites.
We do have, it's one thing you're talking about. So we are doing these webinars on a regular basis, and I think it'll be another good one to talk about scammers.
Information security, if you want to get on that, financialconsulate.com, and look for the Knowledge Center, and you'll find a way to sign up for that.
Yeah, and you get you can sign on and get all kinds of other articles. You wrote the one about Social Security There's many other topics on the broad range of financial planning topics, and so they are.
Well, I just wrote a new one. I had an old one called Inertia, the Number One Public Enemy of Personal Finances. I wrote a sequel to that that should be published in the next week or so, and it's a list of about 20-some things that we find that we tell people to do, and they sometimes procrastinate, and boom, it ends up costing them. So yeah. Anyway, there's Engelbert, so I guess we're finished for now, right?
You're getting better and better there, Drew.
This is Drew Tignanelli saying God bless.